Let's look to the Lord and pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. You are a good God. Mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that you've always been faithful in all these years as a church. You've come through. And we believe, O Lord, even as we walk in you and we abide in you and we abide in your word, you will take us through. Even through the coming days. No matter what the future holds, it might sound like a cliche, but Lord, we believe you hold our future. A God who never lies, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Ancient of Days. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac and Jacob. God of Abel. God of Enoch. God of Noah, you're the same God. Enable us never to forget that you are a God who's living. And you are the God of the living. And therefore this evening, this morning, O Lord, even as we meditate upon your word, let the word come to life. Bring it to life and make it relevant to us in our situations. Write your laws in the deepest parts of our inner man. As you promised in the Old Testament, in the New Covenant, O Lord, by the Spirit of God, by the finger of God, you will write your law in our hearts. Lord, you said, O Lord, that we are an epistle, not written with ink, but by the very Spirit of God. Therefore, write it, O Lord, on our hearts and our minds, and cause us to walk in your ways. To that end, I pray that you will bless the meditation of today's word. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are here in Christmas season and we need to constantly remind ourselves every season as to why he came. It's not about any other thing, any other person. Our eyes are upon Jesus. We need to keep one very important truth in mind though. The manger is empty. The manger is empty. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Okay. So he's seated there at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. And he has to come back once again. He will come back once again. Until then, let him be seated in our hearts and let our hearts not be empty. Amen. So we'll just review a few things that we've learned over the years as to why Jesus came. A couple of things at least this morning. Let's turn to the epistle of John chapter 3. Oh, it's not here. Sam, I think the projector's off. The projector is off. So we have a lot of technical glitches today. Sam's been on his toes. Okay. Right. So 1 John chapter 3, for those of us who got used to the screen and not a Bible. And by the way, this is the Bible. Okay, this is a bag in which you may have the Bible. Okay, this is the Bible. Parishuddha Grantham idi gaadu. Okay, so understand this. Okay, so have a copy of the Bible for yourself. Your sword. You may have the My Sword app, but that is not your sword. Okay, this is your sword. Have your own personal Bible. If it tears like the way mine gets torn every year, buy another one, tear it. Okay? So be absolutely zealous for the Word of God. Have your own copy of the Bible. I mean, I remember when I really was inclined to reading the scriptures, you know, I went to one of the stores in Montreal and I just bought myself two King James Bibles. One a pocket Bible and one a big Bible. And for the next several months, I was just embedded myself in the Word, and I have that. I showed my children. That book just came apart like that, no? So, show me the condition of your Bible and I will tell you the condition of your soul. Okay? So, have your own personal Bible. Don't rely on apps. Use them, but have your own copy. So, why did Jesus come? 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verses 4 and 5. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Okay? And you know, I hope we know, that he was manifested as a baby and as a young man, and on the cross he was crucified. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there was no sin. So, one of the very important purposes as to why the Son of Man has come is to take away sin, which is the number one problem in this universe. Sin is the problem. The root cause for all human suffering. Death, disease, name, what have you. One problem is sin. Why do people die? Is because of sin. It is not how people die. People can die because of old age, because of sickness, because of accidents. Just imagine if it's a universe which has unfallen, there will be no accidents. Think about that. Why do people die? It's because of sin, not because of accidents. All right. So that is what the fundamental problem in all of our lives. It's just not that we commit sins, that we have in our old nature the very inclination to sin. And if that is not dealt with an iron fist, we will keep having problems. And the reason why Jesus Christ came into the world, I know last Sunday, Pastor and I, we were going to this pastor's conference. Oh, last Sunday, yeah. Last Sunday when the election results were being declared, we were coming to church. It was communion Sunday, and I was like praying when I was driving. I said, Lord, topple this government, Lord. Topple this government, Lord. Topple this government in the name of Jesus. And I just stopped there in one of the intersections, and the Lord told me, you know, Vijay, when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, everybody was thinking that he was going to topple the Roman Empire. They thought he was going to go straight to Pilate's palace, remove him from his throne and be seated there. But on the contrary, he took a detour. He went to the temple and he drove the money changers out. And he said, Vijay, I have not come to topple the kingdoms. One day all these kingdoms will be my kingdom. I've come to topple the trash in your heart so that I can be enthroned in your heart. And I was thinking about that. I said, Lord, what a fantastic rebuke before the election result. If you would have given me that thing before the result, it would have been good. But, you know, anyway, so God came. The fundamental problem is sin. He wants to deal with that root cause. So why did the Son of God was manifest? Son of God was manifest to take away my sin. That is how I personalize it. Every Christmas I tell myself, Lord, why did you come? It is a reminder to tell me, you have come down to take away my sin. And how did you do that? It was not easy for you. That is the reason why he asked this question to the Pharisees. He says, is it easy to say your sins have been forgiven you, or is it easy to say pick up your mat and walk? And the answer is, pick up your mat and walk. That's easy. That's easy. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to forgive those people who are enemies of God, who are sinners, who are ungodly and unrepentant, and who have no idea that they are people who have their fists against God, and yet Jesus Christ died for them even before they chose to respond. So how does he do it? In 1 John chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's what I told you. He is not the crib is empty. The manger is empty, the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. And he himself, it says, he did not make propitiation. He himself made propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that is the reason why we want to preach the gospel. That is the reason why we say, Lord, save our unsaved loved ones. Why? It is the gospel which has got the power to save people from the penalty and the power of sin. No, nothing else has that power. So how does he do it? How does he do it in 1 John chapter 1? I'm just going to recap a lot of things that we have learned. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 onwards. But if he walk, 7 onwards. But if he walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the what cleanses us? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. See, let us not become desensitized to sin. You know, when we were kids, Christmas was, boy, fun. When we were looking forward to Christmas, for Christmas, no? Special offering used to get clothes, charmas, shopping, 60% off, no? It was a time of cousins coming together. We were like looking for crazy things to be done as cousins during Christmas. But even as we grew up, no? Slowly the joy and the, it became a routine, and you know, people went off into different directions, and we very rarely call. No? Everybody is in different parts of the world, and that awe and wonder of Christmas slowly begins to dwindle away. You know, that's exactly what happens. We speak about the blood. And over a period of time, the blood of Jesus, you know, we don't tremble. The first consecration, when it happened, when the priests were consecrated in the book of Leviticus chapter 9, you know what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to kill 7 bulls. They were killing and killing and killing. They were dipped in blood from head to toe. That's what makes possible for a man to have peace with the Holy God. Just think about it. How did the Passover happen? They bring the Passover lamb a few days before it has to be killed. 1 year old. Either a goat or a lamb. Alright? And they have to wait for that particular day. In that meantime, you have a relationship with the lamb. You know, lambs are cute, right? Even little goats are cute. And after a few days, the head of the family says, today we should kill the goat. Think about it. If I were to bring a goat this morning, right in front of your eyes, my wife says, don't take me to the chicken shop, because I can't stand the sight of blood. I say, Baba, you eat nicely. You see, because the sight of blood, I can't see. No, think about it. Now, if I were to take that same right in front of your eyes and I have to slaughter it and drain every drop of blood and collect it in a basin, do you think it's a pretty sight? Oof. And the children are asking, Papa, 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 why are you doing this, Papa? Child, if we don't do this, either the firstborn of this house dies, or this dies. You choose. In other words, why are you killing this innocent creature, Papa? Maria, brother, Maria, daughter, Maria, son, it's because this innocent creature became sin for you, so that the death angel could pass over you. The blood of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I remember several years back, Pastor James was preaching a series on Christmas, and he said, you know what? The butcher of Bethlehem. Do you remember that? The butcher of Bethlehem. Who's this butcher of Bethlehem? Jesus Christ, as a small 8-day-old baby, is taken to the synagogues to be circumcised. And the first time he's circumcised, and the blood of the Passover lamb, or the very Son of God, is on the hands of the priest, and he still doesn't know. He still doesn't know. He's been desensitized. My dear brothers and sisters, let us not be desensitized to what it costed God for us to be freed from sin. Understand this. So that is the reason why constantly we say, confess your sins with God every day, in the evening or in the morning before you start. Lord, confess your sins one to another. We do not know, brothers and sisters, next day morning is not guaranteed. We can sleep in the night, and if just imagine if we have unconfessed in the night and in the morning we are not even there. If you don't even have the opportunity to set things right with God, what would happen? Live in that reality. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. That's what James 5 says. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So confess your sins and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. So this morning, for this purpose, the Son of Man has come. Hebrews chapter 9. What is the reason? Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 will say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. I like the KJV, which says, purge your conscience from dead works. Purge your conscience. We all have had a conscience which constantly accuses us. If you want to silence that conscience and make it a clear conscience, what should you do? Believe in the blood of Jesus, which will purge your conscience. Why? Because Christ offered his blood through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. You see, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together are actually ratifying and putting their certificate on the blood of Christ, which is sufficient for all sin. So this morning, confess your sins. And he had the authority on when he was on earth to forgive sins. You know why? Because he was paying for them. Luke's Gospel chapter 7, this is what it says in Gospel according to Luke chapter 7. You know the story of that woman who comes to Jesus and washes his feet. And he says, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. What a statement. This morning you can go back home with that assurance, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are, for this reason he has come. And why could he give that more so authoritatively say, with such authority? Because he was the one who's going to pay the bill. In a few days, in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, this is what it says. One of the reasons as to why the Son of Man came, Mark's Gospel chapter 10 verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life through his blood as a ransom for many. That is the reason why he has come. Why? In Psalm 49, there's a prophecy. Prophecy of the sons of Korah. Psalm 49, this is what they say. It's chapter 49, verse 1 onwards. Hear this, all peoples. All peoples. We have all peoples here, no? Different nationalities. What a fantastic church we are. Different nationalities, different. Andhra Telugu, Telangana Telugu. Tamil, Malayalam, everybody. Okay. North India, South India, everybody, all kinds of people are here. All peoples of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to the proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the heart. Memorizing Proverbs, right? Dark saying, one of the dark sayings. This is what it says. What is a dark saying? Verse 7. None of them, all these high, low, rich, poor, none of them by any means can redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. Why? For the redemption of their souls is costly. How costly? Infinitely costly. Even if you have the Reserve Bank of all the world, you can't reach to God. And it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. But God, through his eternal Spirit, what does he do? Once he has offered, once and for all, he has paid the price for all our sin. And for this reason, the Son of Man is manifest. Why? So that he can take away our sins. You don't have to. So keep that in your heart this morning. Jesus, to some of us, possibly to all of us, is saying this morning, where are those people who condemn you? They're all gone. You know what it says in John's Gospel chapter 8? When Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are you? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So that's the first part is the easy part, you know. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Your sins will be, repent of your sins. Your sins will be forgiven. God will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness and he will give you a clear conscience with God and with man. No. The later part is dangerous. Very difficult. Go and sin no more. So then the next part as to why the Son of Man came. The first part is the Son of Man came so that he may take away the penalty for our sins. The second reason when the first epistle of John chapter 3, this is what it says in verse 8 onwards. He who sins is of the devil. Oh, hello. Okay. That's the reason why he says brood of vipers. Okay. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it says, for this purpose, Pastor was praying in the morning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. How does he do it? Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. So go and sin no more. How is it possible, Baba? In new birth, it is possible. If you are born of God, born from above, there is a seed inside each one of you which is of God, which will never sin. Which will never sin. Because it is of God. Okay? That is how go and sin no more happens. How? Because that which is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. Therefore, you must, everybody say, I must be born again. Uh-huh. Everybody say that. I must be born again. I must. Unless and until that happens, there's no solution for you, for your problem, for the sin problem in your life. So, but then, of course, if you're born again, how does God make sure that this seed inside of you, which does not sin, grow in you so that you can overpower sin in your life? The second reason, this is what is going to be the meat of today's word. We'll just read this. Son of God is manifest to destroy the work of the devil. Now, you need to ask yourself, what is the quintessential work of the devil? What is the work of the devil in our life? The work of the devil in my life. What is it? If I were to ask you this question. Okay. Now, deception, as a result of deception, what happened? Okay. So, the work of the devil. The quintessential work of the devil is this. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. This is describing our condition before we are born again. Look at what it says. These are sobering words. Very difficult for us to take it, but this is the word of God. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 onwards. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. There's a course of this world. There's a pattern in this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. So there was something which was empowering you. It's a prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And he will say, no, I'm not among that. But you know what it says when you read it? And you. What are we? Sons of disobedience. And Paul goes on to say, he includes himself also in this. This is what he says. Among whom also we all, everybody see that, okay? All once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is the work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? This child of wrath. Okay. This guy who is under the condemnation of God. The old man. How old is that old man?
sins.
At least 6,000 years old. Okay. Old man. Ephesians chapter 4. This is what he says. The old man. Ephesians chapter 4. Or the flesh. Or you can use interchangeably because they're all interconnected with few differences here and there. The body of sin, the flesh, the carnal nature, the old man, the corrupt nature. Yeah. 422 it says that you put off concerning your former conduct. This is what it is. The old man. Which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That's his nature. That's the work of the devil. And he wants to destroy that in our lives. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. And what is the work of the devil? In all of us, the old man. And how did he do that? In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is what it says. Verse 6 onwards. Knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified. He took that old man, all of our old men, yeah, on the cross, removed. Okay. But my point here is this. Yes, that is true. Positionally for all of us. But in our lives, one of the things that we constantly will be battling for the rest of our lives is what? Sin. The nature. Okay. Yes, our old man is crucified. But it also says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Okay. If you, through the Spirit, what? Put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay. You have to put off the old man, be renewed in the attitude of your mind, and put on the new man. So there's certain things that we need to do. So what are the practical things this morning? So if you look at the entire old covenant, the old covenant is given as a manual, as to, it's a story of a believer of Christ and of a believer who is in Christ. Entire scriptures. That is the reason why it says in Romans chapter 15 verse 4 for the 2700th time. This is what it says. Okay, in our church at least. This is what it says. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures. That is the reason why I was telling you, you should have a life for yourself in the scriptures. For yourself. Okay. Reading from Genesis to Revelation. And we don't have to finish it in 1 year. You put that deadlines, you'll not be able to do it. Because sometimes you'll get stuck in certain places because you'll not be able to move forward because it's stuck. It's there in your mind and you want to read it over and over again. So, I read this Bible. I'm going to finish it 3 times in 4 years now. So 3 times in 4 years. So it's not like one year, because sometimes I got stuck in some places and I wanted to read it over and over again. So comfort of the scriptures. Have a life in the scriptures that we might have what? Hope. So we read through the scriptures. We look at the patterns in the old covenant and we look at as to how God gives us practical. He identifies specifically the attributes of the old man and how to put them to death. Specifically. He identifies, this is an attribute of the old man. This is an attribute of the old man. This is a part of your sin nature. Identify it and put it to death. So that is the reason why we constantly keep coming to the study of the scriptures so that through the study of scriptures, first thing we get is faith. Second, we also have hope. And faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Yeah. So this morning, we will look at a very interesting passage in the Old Testament. Okay. Story which I believe all of us like. Okay. One of those books of the Old Testament which we all like to read like a story. It's a very simple story to read. Anybody knows? Fantastic story. Yeah. Esther. Not Job. Job is difficult. Esther. I mean, it's a nice story, no? It's a lot of action, a lot of drama, and not many things about God is not even mentioned in that story. Because whenever God is not mentioned, everybody likes it, no? So conspicuously, God is absent, no? This boring God is not there. So he's Esther is like that one book, you know? I was doing my study on this and a little bit of research on this, The rabbis apparently, one of the favorite book of the Jewish people. You know what that book is? The book of Esther. They, you know, there was this Christian lady who was in a supermarket, and she was standing in the line. She bought her groceries, and she was standing in the line. There was a rabbi standing in front of her in the line also. In his hand, he had a study of the book of Esther in his hand. And she looked at the rabbi, and she said, you know, rabbi, I'm a Christian, but one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Esther. So rabbi looked at her, and he said, oh, if Esther is a favorite book, then you should be knowing what day today is. She looked at him and she said, I don't know. He said, today is Purim. Today is Purim. I'll tell you, I'll come to Purim a little later, okay? Okay, Esther and Purim go together, okay? That is one of the holidays, Jewish holidays. And they love it. Because it's a story of deliverance. It's a story as to how God intervenes in his sovereign ways. In seemingly innocuous ways. There are no coincidences for the people of God. And if you want, I mean, one of the verses that we constantly are reminded of is Romans chapter 8 verse 28. For all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are thee called according to his purpose. And this is one of those books which actually shows you as to how this unfolds. So Esther, you know, the story of Esther, everybody should be familiar, I'm sure. And Esther is, I mean, it's, if you look at the entire book of Esther, Esther is a type of, you know, Esther is a type of the church in the last days. This is what my understanding is. Esther is a type of the church in the last days. Mordecai is a believer in the last days. And Haman, we'll come to Haman. Who is he? We'll come to that this morning. Keep that in mind. The Son of Man has come so that he might destroy the works of the evil one. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We'll revisit that a little later. So Esther chapter 5. I'm just going to fast forward. Because all of us know the story of Esther. This is after Naaman is so angry with Mordecai. Because he doesn't bow to him. Yeah. And on the same day, he's invited for a feast to Esther's house. This is Esther chapter 5. And let us look at a few verses there. Verses 12 and 13. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she has prepared. And tomorrow, I am again invited by her along with the king. Who comes first? I come first, king comes later. Okay? You can see the order. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see what? Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. You see, if you look at this entire passage, Mordecai always has a specific adjective which is associated with it, with him. Mordecai, the Jew. And in fact, it's very interesting. It is not Mordecai, a Jew. It is Mordecai, the Jew. It's very specific. The article is very interesting. Now, let us just do a little bit of word study here. What does the word Haman mean? The word Haman means the exalted one who uses cunning. Cunningly exalted fellow. Wants to always, the one is illustrious or exalted, what have you. No, there are several connotations to it. He uses cunning to exalt himself. And what is he a type of? He's a type of the flesh and a spirit which empowers it. Now, we'll come to Mordecai, as I said, is given this specific title, Esther chapter 3 verse 10. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedat, the Agagite. And what is Haman? The enemy of the Jews. Okay, he is the enemy of the Jews. Now we need to ask this question, therefore, another place where he is also called the enemy of the Jews. Haman, the enemy of the Jews. But something else is mentioned over here in chapter 3 verse 10. Haman the Agagite, okay, son of Hammedata. And you know Agag, remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul spares Agag. Okay, and now this is a result of you sparing the flesh. Who has risen? Haman the Agagite. The Amalekite spirit, the flesh, so many connotations. Yeah. And what is he? He is the enemy of the Jew. Who is Mordecai? the Jew, and who is Haman, the enemy of the Jew. And the Bible says about the flesh. The flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh, and they are constantly what? At war with each other. They are enemies. Enemies. Especially the flesh is the enemy of the spirit. Esther chapter 8 verse 1, again, we know that. You know, he is called the enemy of the Jews. Now what does Mordecai mean? Haman means the exalted one, the one who wants exaltation, very cunning fellow. And that's a description of our old man. We saw that description of the old man, which says, it is growing corrupt with deceitful lusts. He's a person who uses deception and pretends to exalt himself. And what does the word Mordecai mean? It's very interesting. Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai means what? The little one. It's interesting, isn't it? Mordecai means what? The little one. Chota. Now, who is the little one in the New Testament? Paul. Yeah, Paul means little one. And it's very interesting. Paul is also a Benjamite. Mordecai is also a Benjamite. And who is the Benjamite? Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Who is the son of God's right hand? Jesus is son of God's right hand. How did he become the son of God's right hand? Because he was also Benoni first. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And after he took our place as Benoni, he is exalted as what? Benjamin, seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are all where? The beloved of the Lord are upon his shoulders. And who are those people? The Benjamites. Who is it? The type of a believer. Did you understand this? This is the description. And who is Mordecai? The person who is little, who is a humble fellow. And if you see the entire book of Esther, you'll see this Haman who is craving always for exaltation. And you'll see Mordecai is a very quiet fellow. But a person with very strong convictions. Quiet fellow. Very strong convictions. You see, when he hears about this conspiracy to assassinate the king, he hears it and he gives word to Esther. Esther tells the king, and they investigate the matter, and they know that something has happened. They execute those two people and they write it in the records, and it is forgotten. Mordecai is not upset. He just does his duty. And then one day, of course, when the edict is made, the king is not able to sleep. He's reading from the chronicles, and this story is retold. And he asks this question, what shall be done to a man? Exactly at that moment, Haman has already made a gallows, which is 50 cubits high, for Mordecai. He wants to go and indict Mordecai to the king. And king at that moment is thinking about Mordecai, has to how to exalt him. So immediately he goes into the chamber, and the king asks, Haman, before you start, what should be done to a man whom the king decides to honor? Let the best, because Haman is thinking about himself, because he's a guy who's craving for exaltation. He's the exalted one after all. He says, let the best robe be brought. Let the best, let the king's horse be brought. Let the ring be given, and let him be put on that horse, and the most noblest person in the kingdom, let him parade him throughout Shushan. This should be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Okay. And the king says, okay, take the best robe. He's thinking about himself. Take the horse. He's thinking about himself. Take the ring. Thinking about himself. He's waiting for that name. Give it to Mordecai, and you be the exalted one who's going to parade him. It's amazing. Okay. And you know what happens? Mordecai is actually very unassuming. He just goes around. I mean, he's like, he's not interested in anything. He goes around, he comes back and sits at the place where he is appointed. That is Mordecai. Mordecai is never interested in all this glory. So why? Because he's the little one. He wants to always stay little. Chota aadmi. Yesterday, Pastor was talking about, no? Don't exalt yourself before time. We'll come to that. I don't want to go ahead of myself. No, he's a little one. He always wants to be that little fellow. Chota fellow. Like Paul. You know, it's very interesting how Saul becomes Paul. It says, Paul who was called Saul, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what should you become? Little. That's what happened to Saul. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was little. So, exalted one. This guy wants to get exalted. So, Mordecai is on the other hand, is a little one. And you know the story. The story is, Esther comes to the king and king says, yes, Esther, what is your request? You know, if I have found favor in your eyes, come to my house for dinner. Comes to the house and also bring this fellow Haman. Then say, fellow Haman, bring also Haman. Haman is nicely fed that day. He's so excited. Next day also, what should I do, Esther? Save my life. Save my people's life. From whom? From this wicked Haman. Haman, you know that story that Haman falls at Esther's feet, begs for mercy, and king interprets that also in a very different way. And he says, he's so angry and he says, hang this fellow right now. And people come and say, yes, there is a gallows which he has prepared for Mordecai. Hang him there! So Mordecai is hung. No! He asks, king asks, Esther, are you satisfied now? He says, no. The decree has already been made. Can you write a new decree? So that you can reverse. He says, this decree cannot be reversed. One thing has to be done. What has to be done? I can write a decree giving rights to the Jewish people to defend themselves. In other words, they have to fight this. I have bound a strong man, but something else has to happen. They have to fight. And they start fighting. And they slaughter left, right and center. At least 800 people who oppose the Jewish people in Shushan are slaughtered. Among them, in Esther chapter 9, verse 10. The 10, what? Sons of Haman. That's a son of Hamadita. The enemy of the Jews. They killed, but they did not lay hand on the plunder. They were not interested in plunder, by the way. They were just like they had the Abrahamic spirit. Okay. They slaughtered. How many sons of Haman? 10 sons of Haman. Then the king says, are you satisfied, Esther? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Esther says, no, I'm still not satisfied. Baba, what should happen now? What more should I do for you? I've given you everything. The Jewish people have already slaughtered their enemies. What more should I do for you? Look at the next verse, my dear brothers and sisters. This is very interesting. Esther chapter 9. And the king said to the queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the citadel, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done to the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Esther says, you know what she says? Esther says, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow, according to today's decree, and let what? The 10 sons of Haman who are already killed should be hung. They're already killed. And you will think, Rababa, this lady is crazy. What a bloodthirsty, vindictive lady. That's what you'll think. But you see, this is, you know what? These are not ordinary women in the Bible. These are warriors. Yesterday, pastor was talking about, you know, she did not raise the sword, but she delivered her people using her position. Using her nature. Okay. And would you say, what is this? What is this 10 sons of Haman to be hung? Let me tell you something which has happened in history. In 1946, if I'm right, there was a Nuxembourg trial. I think Samir will definitely know it for sure. Nuxembourg trial, where they found all the Nazis. Okay. They got the 10 generals of Nazis. And they were indicted for the Holocaust. And they were all supposed to be hung that day. And you know what? One of the 10 generals, the Nazi generals, when he got the decree that he was going to be hung, you know what he said? He spoke a curse on the Jewish people and he said, today you Jewish people are celebrating Purim, I know. But this is going to happen over and over and over again in your history. And he pronounced a curse on the Jewish people. You should listen to certain interviews that have happened in the recent years with some of the Hamas leaders. The interviewer is in Arabic. He's asking this question to this guy who's the leader of the Hamas. He said, "How do you justify having these bunkers in civilian locations. Your people are going to perish and die. He says, you know what, we don't care about our civilian population as long as the Jews are killed. You know what he said? Same words that general, the Nazi general said, again and again and again, October 7th will happen to the Jewish people. October 7th is going to happen to the Jewish people again and again. I'll tell you something, my dear brothers and sisters. Hamans are rising. The man of the flesh, and one day the ultimate Haman, the Antichrist himself, 666, will arise. And the Bible says in 1 John, there are many Antichrists who are already there. They are paving the way for the Antichrist to be revealed in history. The son of perdition. So Esther is a book for us. Because Haman is a quintessential old man. And who is 666? The old man who is empowered by Satan himself. The epitome of man. What started in Babel in Nimrod during Nimrod's time is going to find its culmination, its consummation in the Antichrist. And every one of us inside of our heart is the old man, the fleshly nature. And if you do not deal with it with an iron fist, like the way Esther did, hang Haman and also the 10 sons. And when I was reading this during my daily readings, the 10 sons of Haman are mentioned by name. Do you know that? It's very interesting. See, God does not waste verses and pages. He gives those words for a specific purpose. In Esther chapter 9, this is what it says. Very weird and strange names for the sons of Haman. And in Shushan the Citadel, chapter 9 verse 6, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Parshandatha, Dalphon, Asfatha, Puratha, Adalia, Aridatha, Parmashtha, Arisai, Aridai, Vajeta, the 10 sons of Haman. I mean, so much detail is given. And I'm thinking, Lord, that day I was like, I stopped there. I need to do a study on this. You know, that's the reason why, you know what, my Bible, when I want to read it in 1 year, it doesn't happen. Because somewhere I get blocked. I said, I have to do a study on this. This is like, this is something the Lord is trying to teach. Killing the sons of Haman is not enough. You have to hang them. And in the Bible says, cursed is a man who hangs on a tree. Now, Jesus, in becoming the sin offering, he became a curse on the tree. He dealt with the old man. Once and for all, what are we supposed to do? Deal with the 10 sons. Like yesterday, Pastor was saying, no. He said, if you do not finish the strong man, the firstborn is coming. Who takes the place of the firstborn? If Jacob dies, Reuben. Okay? If you don't deal with the next one is on the way. The bigger fellow. So you have to deal with them one thing after the other. And yesterday I was like, this is what was the Lord was telling me to teach on. And when we were doing the Q&A, I looked at Sammy and I said, Sammy, you're in for a surprise tomorrow. Yeah? 10 sons of Haman. Why? It's not just enough to finish Haman. Esther does not want to repeat the mistake of her forefather, ancestor Saul, who was very gentle on Agag. She said, you know what? Finish them all off with an iron fist. So we need to understand, what are these 10 sons? What do they signify? And you need to understand, there are not many resources, very few resources. You read the entire, I mean, you do your research, you will rarely find anybody talking about this. So I was doing quite a bit, because these are not Jewish names. These are all Persian names. They have got some potent meaning. So let us look at who are these first 10 sons of Haman. And all of these are there inside of us. Like Pastor was talking about this morning. Don't worry about the things outside of you. The things outside of you. Worry the things for about the things which are inside of you. And the Son of Man has come to destroy the works. Where? Inside of you. So let us see the study on the 10 sons of Haman. Okay? The 10 sons of Haman. Okay? Imagine just a book written on your name. Esther, if you have the name Esther, you are blessed. Okay? First son. Parshandata. You know what this is? The attitude that distances you from God's word. How? Through distraction, complacency, and laziness. What is that? Through distraction, complacency, and laziness. Okay, even ChatGPT will not give you this, okay? If you're searching. Okay. Through distraction, complacency, and laziness. So, one woman, she had 7 demons delivered from her. Okay, she should be happy. But she knows, in order for her to walk in her deliverance, what does she need? A constant infilling of the word of God. You know why? Because the unclean spirit goes out and he comes back visiting dry places and it finds none. So she knows. She knows very well. I've been delivered from 7 demons. I don't want a new beginning in the demonic. So what does she do? Luke's Gospel chapter 10. It says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, which is the situation for most of you. In many of your minds, you are not at rest. You, what do you have? You have, whatever that guy's name is, Paradatha. Okay. What is that? Parshadatha. Sounds very Indian. Parshadatha. Sanskrit. Martha, Martha! You are worried and troubled about many things. Oh, so many people in Christendom, you cannot, they cannot concentrate on the word. Think about, you can go to Animal and see, sit in the movie for 3.5 hours, right? Right? All movie buffs over here. I'm not pointing fingers, okay? Yeah. Okay. 3 hours, 20 minutes movie you want to watch. How will you watch? Even if intermission comes, hey, start it now, quickly. Get the popcorn quickly. I don't want to miss it. Okay. So I like what P.S. Omi says, no? If you come to the church and the ministry of the word is going on, and if you put center stand, what is center stand? That is center stand. If you put center stand, the demons and the devils will start manifesting on your eyes. And they want to put you to sleep. When they come to the ministry of the word of God, you cannot sit for more than few hours. Not few hours, a few minutes. 20-minute sermon, pastor. Whatever, in our church, introduction is 45 minutes. 45 minutes introduction. Are itmeto, I would have listened to so many sermons. But you will not say about the movies. For everybody will go to Animal now. Already people who have bought tickets, I know, you fellows. You can't fool me. Sandeep Reddy Vanga is going to laugh all the way to the bank. And you're going to become an animal. Hallelujah. Yeah. Martha, Martha, Martha. Parshadatha, Martha. What is needed, Martha? One thing is needed, Martha. Martha, you do not know when the word to cause deliverance in your life will come to you. Come to you. You do not know. You do not know, Martha. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe 18 years from now. Or even 38 years from now. We do not know. But let that lady comes week after week to the synagogue for 18 years. 18 years. Yesterday pastor was talking about Chronos and Kairos. For 18 years in the chronological age. And one day Jesus came. Jesus came. Her life changed. You do not know, my dear brothers and sisters. You do not know, my dear brothers. That is the reason why it says, fill the water pots with water. Till where? Till the brim. Baba, we need wine. Yeah. There's no connection between wine and water. I know. What we need is mine. Fill our lives with water. You want a miracle? You know what? 30 to almost 20 to 30 gallons of water, meaning 30 times 6, 540 gallons of water they filled that day for one miracle. Pastor, just pray over me. No, Pastor, please. I do not want to come to church again. Please pray. In the name of Jesus. You have all those gimmicks happening. You know, that's the reason Jesus is so upset. He said, these guys, they filled 540 gallons of water they filled. And you saw the miracle happening. And you still don't believe. You still don't believe. One thing is needed. What is that? Sit at his feet. You know, in Telugu it's called Ekagrata. Like that. Eka means one. Grata means concentration. Agrata means anger towards one direction. We are double-minded people. That's what the pastor was talking about. Enemies of faith. Double-mindedness. Parshadatas. Put to death Parshadatan and hang him there, my dear brothers and sisters. How do you do that? How do you do it? Hebrews chapter 10, this is what it says. Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How? Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting how? Through the word of God. Exhort one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Does it dwell in you richly? Mm-hmm. This spirit of this age, this attitude inside of our heart, which weighs us down by the cares of this world. Mm-hmm. Because the day is approaching. And I'll tell you something. Hammers will keep on arising. You have to put to death. Every day. You kill the flesh today. Crucify him. You're saying, he's done and dusted. Tomorrow morning, shamelessly again, he'll come. Right in front of your eyes. When your alarm rings. Mark's Gospel chapter 4. This is what it says. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Yes, do they? They hear the word. But the what of this world? The cares of this life. Of this age, it says, the other translations. The deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. Oh, come on, think about it. He who, the world and its lusts are passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And the word of God abides forever. So the word of God abides forever. And the will of God abides forever. So what do we need? The will of God and the word of God. But what are we after? Parshadatas. Parshadatas. That is the reason why our lives are so defeated. There is no victory over sin. There is no victory over lust. There is no victory over anger. There is no victory. One more year goes without any victory in our lives. You know why? Because we have not dealt with this once and for all. We have not given a priority to the word of God once and for all. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from where? From your mouth. Why is it in your mouth? Because it's in your heart. One of the things that I'm big on memorizing is, especially when the children are there, is because it actually, it expands your brain. It makes different parts of your brain active. Because memorizing is not easy. Memorizing, you have to get the logic, the thought flow, etc., etc. You have to, there's a pattern. It's just not root. No. Something has to happen. No. A lot of people, they do it like this. It never comes. And they immediately forget because there's no logic there. You know why? Chess players, on the other hand, they have excellent memory. They're able to remember all steps. You know why? Because of logic. They have the logic. So when you memorize logically, you have a pattern. So when the children are asked to memorize, you know, so many parts of their brain gets activated because they have to make it a point to remember.
So they develop intuitive strategies which best fit their mind in order to remember.
Okay, so encourage your children to memorize.
So, meditate on it. How long? Day and night. Constantly run. It has to keep on running in your mind. In the back of your mind. Somewhere that, you know, that processor is running. Suddenly God will give you a revelation and you will scream like Eureka. Like Archimedes. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have what? Good success in your Christian life. We're not talking about things in this world. What is a success? You will be able to get the promised life of Christ for yourself. More of Christ's nature will be reflected in your life. That is success. That is the reason why. How do we read the word? Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 will say this way. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let the rich man not glory in his riches. But let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. In Telugu, it's very interesting. Nannu parisilanaga telusukonuta valana. You know what that means? It means this guy has done his research and he has studied carefully. He wants to know what the life of Christ is. He's not just looking for knowledge. The other day I was looking at one of Paul Washer's video when he was showing his library. How many of you saw that video? And some of you are there, no? Yeah, some of you. I think some of you forwarded that to me. Paul Washer's library, okay? He was showing his library. My goodness, books and books and books and books and ovens, like thousands of books in his library. And he's read many of them actually. And you know, finally, humble man, no? And he says, let me tell you, youngsters, all these books will give you knowledge which will puff you up. And he made a powerful statement. You know what he says? It's only the person who embeds himself in this book, the scriptures, is the only person who can be holy and humble. All these books will puff you up, but this book will keep you humble. All. He understands and knows me. So the first thing, set it right. Prioritize the word of God. Yesterday, Pastor was so happy when he saw all the people who are there for the ministry of the word. 3.5 hours. What amount of water we drank and we were washed with. And think about it, no? Which will give you a fantastic sense that you took a shower? One chembu of water? Or at least one bucket of water? Chembu is used for something else. Think about it. One bucket, at least minimally. If it's a shower, if it's a 3.5 hour shower, kya baat hai? By the time you come out, you are like fresh. I am washed. That's exactly what used to happen to me, you know, when Wednesday Bible study, boy, 3 days in the lab, I used to go crazy. Okay. Frustrated, angry, upset with everybody and with myself and with the work. But I used to enjoy it, okay? I'm enjoying it, okay? I used to come in and then suddenly pastor used to start preaching for 1 hour, 15 minutes, washed, midweek bath. What a bath it was. But we have to bathe how many times? Daily. In Hyderabad, they said Jumma to Jumma. Friday to Friday only. The rest of the times, what did they do? Athar. I know, you know, I was born in Hyderabad. No? I had so many Muslim friends. It used to smell like this. The body odor with the stench used to get mixed. I used to, are you Indian or no? Athar. For a lot of us, we are like that. We don't take a shower every day. What we do? Deo spray. And go out. Wash. Don't be parshadatas. Hang that fellow this morning. The next son. Crazy fellow he is. Look at this next son. Dalphon. What is his name? This word means the door to bad intentions, hypocrisy, pretense, a heart not for God, but for traditions. A heart not for God, but for traditions. You see, that is the reason why the word of God, why do we come to the ministry of the word of God? Because the word of God, the Bible says, is a sharp, like a sword, divides the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So, what is the purpose of the word of God? Is to expose this pretender of the first order, actor, who's there in all of us, in different levels. It's impossible, I'm telling you. It's impossible for us to worship on Sunday morning if you have not spent time with God through the week. It's impossible. If you have not battled, if you have not fought our battles, if you have succumbed to battles, you cannot do it. It's impossible. Dalphon. This is what it says. What is a Dalphon? What's this attitude? It's a door to bad intentions. It is an attitude of hypocrisy and pretense. They have no heart, but they hold on to their tradition. Let us expose this fellow in the new covenant. Acts chapter 5. This is what it says. Verse 3 onwards. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Dalphon. What is he? He's a pretender. There's no reality in his life. He's a shallow person, as the pastor was talking about. Shallow people. So much of social media attention. Instagram likes, Facebook likes, YouTube subscribers. Some of the gold that you get, you don't get from popular teachers. I'm telling you honestly. You have to go to sources which are, they are hidden. It's a glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. What are these people? They are pretenders. What do they have? They have a form of godliness, but deep down inside of the heart, it's like a whitewashed tomb, but lawlessness in their hearts. Outside something, inside something else. And we all have that. Double nature. He has to be exposed. That is the reason why the psalmist says, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. Lord, make me one, not a pretender. Jacob, no? If I do this to my dad, he might think that I am a deceiver. Hello, you are a deceiver. That's the whole point of deception, no? He might think. And you know what? There's a Rebecca teaching. I call it Rebecca teaching. Rebecca doctrine. What doctrine? It's okay, bro. It's okay. Let your curse be upon me. You do it. No problem. I sanction this. I'm telling you, I've seen so many Rebeccas in Christendom. Even in our Christian circles, how mothers, they don't deal with the shortcomings of the child. Especially during weddings, they hide so many things about their son. And so many things about the daughter. Everything is hidden. And after a while, everything is come out in the open, and what's going on? Dalphon. That is the reason why Jesus says in Mark's Gospel chapter 7, this is what he says, Mark's Gospel chapter 7, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. No, yesterday we had this brother Santosh who was, you know, sharing his testimony. He used to say how they do namaz in India. First of all, they go and take their nose like this, put water there, because they think Satan is here near your nose. Then they wash their ears. Then they wash this. They wash the outside. And then they feel holy. And then they go into the mosque to do their namaz. That is not holiness. You know how holy, how do you become holy? The person who is most holy is a person who is most aware of his unholiness. Let me make this statement again. The person who is most holy is a person who is most holy, most aware of his unholiness. Remember Isaiah? He goes and sees the Lord high and lifted up. That is where holy, holy, holy. And he says, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. In Telugu, it's very interesting. Ayyo! I like that sound. Ayyo! I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he becomes one of the most holy prophets. Person who's aware. Remember? The person who has got leprosy from head to toe is declared? No, 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 no. Clean. See. What an amazing God we have. If you are having leprosy here, you have leprosy here, leprosy somewhere, only in some areas, that's what you think. And then you come to Jesus, you know what he'll say? You're unclean. But when you are having leprosy from your forehead to the toes and you say, Lord, I'm unclean, he says, you're clean. Apadamastakam, full unholiness. Then you are what? Holy. Outward cleansing will not. What matters is the hidden attitude of the heart. That has to change. Verse 7, this is what he says. He answered and said to him, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far, very far. Very far from me. You see, you need to understand, one of the things that we need to understand in these last days is that time is very short. We can't play church. One day we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says we have to give an account. What is he going to do? He's going to judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. What is he going to judge? The secrets. The thoughts, the intentions, everything will be judged. So we should not ask the Lord, make me one. Let me not pretend. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. My word life has to be genuine. My prayer life has to be genuine. My worship has to be genuine. My giving has to be genuine. I should be a person who is the same in secret when nobody is watching and outside. Let me not be a person who's pretending. Become serious like that. In these last days, deal with it. You know the reason why Son of Man came? He, Son of Man, came to take away that shame, no? We remember the first two sins of man, strongholds of Adam's fall. First is what? Shame. The other is rejection. Shame and rejection. And when the Son of Man came, he said, you know what? You don't have to be ashamed. I have accepted you. You do not have to feel condemned. I am not here to condemn. That is the reason why the Bible says, the Son of Man has come not to condemn, but to save. Another reason as to why the Son of Man came. The Son of Man came what? Not to condemn, but to save. Get it out. Be cleansed. Let go of it. And you know what God is going to do? He is going to do a work in your life. You are going to become true. You will not be a person who is going to speak the truth alone. You will be a person who is true to yourself and to God. And yesterday, boy, it was one of the most powerful teachings. You should see the pastors trembling and coming and apologizing to me. Not the pastor. They came and said, you know what? I'm sorry. We are not pastors. I mean, I said, you know what? Thank God. Praise God. I mean, I was not looking down upon them. I was just judging my own heart. Let us not pretend. Traditions. Useless. Christian and Christmas. Christmas is another tradition. What's the whole point of a tradition? Think about it. In all these years, how many of you actually preach the gospel to somebody else during Christmas? What do? Carol singing. Whom are you waking up? Another Christian. What are you saying? Jesus is born. He already knows. What are you doing? But we sing, go tell it on the mountain. Ekada, you are singing outside a Christian house and saying, go tell it on the mountain. Yem, yennada, yenna pandaninga? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Traditions. Carols. I mean, I was so thankful, no? I told you, no, my apartment complex, we all believe in Sarvadharma Sammelan. So they're having a Christmas party now. They're going to call somebody and who's going to preach the word to all these non-Christians. I like that. I like that. What an opportunity. 150 families. At least 120 of them or 130 of them are not Christian families. What an opportunity to preach the gospel. Did you take opportunities to preach the gospel? At least your boss or your colleagues. Invite him. Think about it. Go tell it on the mountain, ekada. And that's the reason when Brother Banu said, you know, Anthony is inviting us. I said, yeah, we should go. We have to go and preach to the non-believers. It's a gospel meeting. Let them know. The problem is, we are parshadatas and dolphins holding on to our traditions, no reality in our lives. What is the difference between us and the other people? They also worship their gods. I remember yesterday, I was talking to Pastor when we were going back home. I remember my friends, no? When you have to go to a temple to get darshan from the temple, from the god, you have to pay money. You know that, right? You have to pay money. There's a VVVIP treatment also. Okay. That fellow pays a lot of money to get darshan. So when the VVIP comes, all these fellows who are in the line, who are not that rich, they are put aside. And you are given way, you are this fellow is given royal treatment and he worships his god and he goes out. I remember some of my friends who have gone to one of the big temples here in Andhra. He said, Vijay, 10 seconds of that god, what power? Huh? And these are all what? IITians, okay? My colleagues, no? What power? I said, Baba, what does that power do to you? Does it change you? Does it make you holy? Every 10 years there will be pushkarams. You will go and wash your sins again and again and again. Has it removed your sin? Nothing. Traditions. So baptism is a tradition. Communion is a tradition. I told you, no? Wet sinner, dry sinner. Dry sinner, wet sinner. What is common? Sinner. Podi papi, tadi papi. What is common? Papi. And you say, papam papi. Nothing has changed. You see, this is not Christianity. This is reality, my dear brothers. Jesus Christ has come to make us real. Not to make us pretenders. Why are we not able to impact the next generation? Because they do not know that our God is living and real in our own lives. This Christmas, Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. So hang dolphin, hang traditions, hang pretense, hang hypocrisy. The next one, the son of Haman. His name is Ashvatha. Any full Sanskrit names are going to be? Ashvatha. What is it? Greed for wealth and desire to gather piles and piles of money. This is one of the Jewish scholars who writes it. This is the rendering of this. Piles and piles of money. Why? For a life of ease. For a life of what? Ease. So we have a generation who wants to retire early. How early? 40, retirement. After, I've got so much of money now. I will travel the world. And I think about my parents' time, no? My parents' time. Your first salary was their last salary. Honestly. But they worked hard and they slowly, incrementally, God increased them step by step by step by step. They understood the value of money, the value of hard work. They saved money. They were frugal. They budgeted themselves. No? There's no budgeting. There is exorbitant splashing only. Spend, brother, spend. So when you buy a car, you're already thinking of the next car. In 10 years time, I'm going to remove this fellow and 10 years time, you won't have the first. Are you going to be staying alive? We don't know. We do not know first. 10 years time, I'm going to change that. Are you, who told you 10 years you will live? I mean, think about it. How do you think? It's there in my own heart, okay? Okay, I'll get my EV. 5 years I'll use it. Are you, 5 years? Oh, after that? The next EV. You know, this is how you plan. Nothing is enough for us. That's exactly what happened. That is the reason why, you know, Ecclesiastes, you know what Solomon says? The introductory verse for Ecclesiastes is, vanity, 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 all is vanity, says the preacher, everything is vanity. How many times? 5 times in one verse. You're a mad fellow. You'll go crazy because how much money is enough for you? Tell me. For you to retire. Think about it. After you got that much, then you'll say a little more. Delta X increment. After that, you'll say and a little more. Inconcho. Inconcho. How much is sufficient? You see, This is what it says in Luke's Gospel. Let us look at the New Covenant, Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse 18 onwards. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid for many years. Bah. Insurance policy. But the problem with insurance policy, it will come only after you die. How do you call it insurance? I don't understand. You are insured. Because you are going to die. That is for sure. That is insurance. That is the reason why Solomon goes crazy. This is insurance not for me. It's for my children. And he says, I earned so much of wealth. What if it falls into the hands of a person who doesn't know how to handle wealth? And he looks at Rehoboam. I'm sure this fellow is going to mess it up. You know, David was a very wise king. All the money he earned. You know what he did? Tell me what he did. He gave it off to the temple. Solomon, you have wisdom. That's enough for you. All the money. All parents, grandparents, do one thing. Don't save money for your children like this. Okay? Let them know the value of hard work and discipline. Don't just say, okay, beta, 1 crore also, no problem, I will send you. 1.5 lakhs per month also, no problem, I will send you. Don't worry about fees. He will say, my dad is there now. He will buy me his payment seat. What seat? Payment seat. Payment seat. Everything payment seat. What will he study? I like during our times, you know, the parents were very clear. Scholarship was then it possible. Otherwise, not possible. So what you do? Study for a scholarship. Think about it. You've spoiled our people. Because we have not taught them that this is not easy. It involves a lot of hard work. Value stuff. You know what God says? Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided for yourself? You're a fool. In other words, everything of your life is only for this life.
Get rid of that. I like what Agur says, no? Lord, don't give me too much. Don't give me little. If you give me too much, I will say, who is the Lord? If you give me little, I will say, I might steal and I might blaspheme your name. Lord. Wise. Can anybody say amen to that actually? Not very easy, no? Unnanta chalu. How many can say? Not very easy, I know. We have to hang him. We have to kill him and hang him. And make ourselves rich towards God. Give, 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 give. Is what the leech will say. For yourself. God says, make friends with what mammon? What mammon? Unrighteous mammon. You know, I like what one man of God gave this interesting example. He said, this mammon is unrighteous. Why is it unrighteous mammon? Okay, imagine, okay? I worked very hard. I got 2000 rupees in my wallet. For this 2000 rupees, I worked very hard. So this 200 rupees is a result of my hard work. Just imagine, another fellow, this is in my pocket, he steals it. Okay, he steals it. Now this 200 rupees has no soul. It will not say, hey, why are you stealing me, Ray? I am Vijay's money. Poor fellow worked hard for me. Will he say? No. He is very comfortable in that fellow's pocket also. No problem. It, okay. He's very, very comfortable in that fellow's pocket also. No issues at all. It is as comfortable in your pocket as in the pocket of a thief. So it is called what mammon? Unrighteous mammon. I love that illustration. I said, Baba, this is super. This fellow is not my friend. Not my friend. He will change color very, very quickly. Very quickly. Today he is Christian. Now, because it's my wallet. Tomorrow he'll become Muslim. Unrighteous mammon, Baba. Make friends with unrighteous mammon. Keep that fellow. Where? Under your feet. Not easy. Not easy. I'm telling you, it is not easy. Doesn't matter what level of Christian walk you're in. The smell of green is amazing. In God we trust. It's ironical, right? What is written on the dollar bill? In God we trust. Really? Ironical. Understand this. So get rid of the spirit. What is this? Ashwata. Hang in there. How do we do it? Give. That's the only way to do it. Practice giving. And I'll tell you how the Lord tests you. Somebody will take money from you and he will forget. And he's a very close brother of yours. You can't ask him. The Lord says, don't ask. Because when you give, you should give expecting not that fellow to return. That's how you should give. He'll test you. I remember, I did not take his permission, Dr. David's permission. You know, he constructed his upper room, remember? His upper room, in his apartment building. He told me, you know, Pastor Vijay, you know how the money came for this? I said, how? A few years back, I lent one of my friends some money to buy an apartment. I said, okay. And he said, and I told my friend, forget about it. You don't have to return it. And he just completely forgot about it. And one day, he's become a policeman now. And he's very well settled off. And he's a nice guy. And one day, one of his peons has come to my home and with a bag full of cash. And he gave it to me. And I receive a call from my friend saying that, this is the money I took from you several years back. I'm giving it back to you. You know what he did? Unrighteous mammon. So what did he do? He constructed a home for the lost. Think about that. That is how you hang the sons of Haman. You know why? Because they will happen again and again and again. It's a curse.
what you see playing out in Israel is also playing out in our own hearts. So make friends with unrighteous mammon. Let's go to the next son of. This is, guys, interesting. Puratha. You know what that means? Frustration caused by sexual perversion. What is it? Frustration caused by sexual perversion. This is a rendering of one of the rabbis. And he's not a believer, by the way. Frustration. Actually, the Jewish people, they pronounce it the other way. Puratha, taropa, something like that. Okay? Which actually means pornography. The spirit of pornography. And it's there. There's sexual perversion in that. People have confusion about their gender. Very clear. In the beginning, God created them. How? Male and female, period. That's it. No other. Even in your passport application, we have now, what is it? Male, female, transgender. Boy, even Indian passport gender, passport application. It's there. So, it's the spirit of the age, by the way. People, movies are getting wilder and wilder, more bolder and bolder. They call it bold, okay? You know, in men and women in amorous embrace, is bold. It's bold. And you're depicting that to the entire world. It's bold. It's bold. You know, we glory in something that we are supposed to be ashamed of. We call it Titanic. What do you call it? Titanic. Men and women in an amorous embrace. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what it says. Verse 9 onwards. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit. Will inherit. It's very clear. But thank God. Look at the next verse. This is what it says. But such were some of you. Were some of you. Therefore it says, purge out the old leaven so that you may be made a new lump. Hang that fellow. That's the reason why he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Don't become a stumbling block. In this day and age, all of us, irrespective of our age, especially these young children, we have to protect their minds. Somebody was telling me the other day, he says, you know what, Pastor, a 1-year-old boy is addicted to pornography now. What does he know? Oh, sorry, first standard boy. What does he know? He knows how to search for it also now. We have lost the age of innocence, my dear brothers and sisters. They've been perverted. You should see the kind of atrocities that have happened during the October 7th massacre. Unbelievable. And the whole world is against the who? The Jews. It's the spirit of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. It's playing out in front of our own eyes. I like what Pastor said the other day. He said, you know what? The one reason as to why the party which lost power is because they did not take a stand for the Jews. And the day when they made that statement, I was really scared. I was saying, Lord, they do not know what they're saying. They do not know what they're saying. The whole world is divided. You know why? The Jew divides, my dear brothers. And that day, every nation is going to be judged as to how they dealt with God's people. The sheep and the goats. The spirit of the age, which is stealing the innocence of our children. They do not have the capacity to read for more than 15 minutes. We know why, because they've been sexualized in their minds. They've been exposed to stuff. Visuals. It's not even reading now. It's not literature. We call it art. My dear brothers and sisters, let us protect our children. Let us protect our children. Let them not lose that innocence. Let them know it. If they have to know about that, let it be from the church, from men of God, from women of God, from married couples who have stood the test of time, who are responsible people, who build families, who understand what it means. Oh, it's the spirit of the age. It's a spirit of perversion. Hang that fellow. Kill him, man. Hang him. Deal with an iron fist. If you have to get rid of your smartphone, get rid of, I think Sami brother, he just got rid of his smartphone. He just kept WhatsApp in his thing. Get rid of that fellow. It's not worth it. Deal with an iron fist. You be the doorkeeper of your home as to what your children watch and what your children not watch. What they read and what they not read. Whom they follow, whom they speak to, whom they talk to. Because we have lost, you do not know the kind of conversations that keep happening among youngsters. Understand this. It's an age which has been sexualized. And nothing sells without that. It's the bodies of men. They've been trafficking in the bodies and souls of men. Let us not become a part of it in any which way. Next one. Athalia. What it means? A desire to be lifted up. When? Before time. Before time? There's a time, my dear brothers, for everything. Oh, I thank God. I thank God, I'm telling you. I thank God that He kept me hidden in this church. Just kept me hidden. The blessing of obscurity. 30 years, John the Baptist is hidden. Yesterday, if you've heard the message. 30 years, John the Baptist, a time of preparation. Only God knows when your time is ready, when you're ready, when your time has come. Don't do anything before that. Don't jump. Don't rush into things. Wait on God. Don't rush your children. Don't try to promote your children for things they're not ready for. Hang on. Exercise restraint. Submit authority. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. It says, likewise you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why? God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. And therefore He says, what should you do? In light of this, what should you do? Verse 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. When? In due time. There is a time for exaltation. There is a time for exaltation. Don't push doors before the time. Don't exalt yourself before your time. Don't become an Haman. The spirit of Haman. Be a Mordecai, a little one, under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your cares. If people take advantage, let them take it. Nobody can take advantage, by the way. Even if they take advantage, like the way they took advantage of Joseph, it'll turn out for your good. Nothing is going to be, you're going to lose nothing. For by humbling yourself and by obeying the word of God. You honor God, God will honor you. Keep that. Let this become a part of our conviction, youngsters, brothers, sisters, elders. Psalm 75, the New Living Translation, this is what it says. For no one on earth, I like that. For no one, everybody say, for no one on earth, say that. From east or west or even from the wilderness should raise a defiant fist. It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and He decides who will fall. So let Him decide. And if you agree, say Amen. Amen. So no man should, you should not get anything except that which is given by God. Then you're safe. be safe. We have a safe saying in English. Better to be safe than to be sorry. Hang this fellow also. The Son of Man has come so that he might, everybody say, destroy the works of the devil. The next one. Aridatha. What is that? Attitude which points fingers at others. Finger pointing. People who do not take responsibility for their own actions. Oh, let that, again, a spirit of the age, right? I mean, very difficult to find people who say sorry. Right? To get a sorry out of a child. Sorry, chappu. Hello? You know, there's one kid in my school, I don't want to mention his name. When his mother is around, he acts up. Okay. So, you know, foolishness is bound upon the heart of a child and the rod of correction drives it away. That's one of the ways of deliverance, by the way. Okay. So this guy, when his mother is there and I give him shake and he'll say, he'll do like that. So he came to the devotion one day and I said, shake hand, hi, morning. He said, I put his collar and dragged him to me. I said, next time I stretched my hand and you don't shake my hand, I'm going to spank the daylights out of you. Did you get that? And you wouldn't believe it, next time I go to the class, sir. Sir. So sometimes he has something in his right hand, so he says, sir. All my children know whom I'm talking about. You see? People don't take responsibility for their own actions. They don't say sorry. You have a generation who it's very difficult for them to say sorry. Even if they're sorry, they don't mean it. Sorry. Sorry. What? Sorry? And there's only one person who genuinely had said sorry. Actually, two people in the Bible. One is David. And the other is the prodigal son. I'm sorry. When did you say sorry? Husband and wife, sorry. Who says sorry the most?
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Sorry. And if you do not say sorry, you are reminded you didn't say sorry. Sir Baba, kya baat hai? Marriage is like that, no? You say sorry for the things that you did right. What is that? Okay. Luke's Gospel chapter 23. Okay, Luke's Gospel chapter 23. Let's move on. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. It's blasphemy not to say sorry. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us also. Tu a Christ. Tu ena Christ. I look at what another man says. But the other answering rebuked him saying, do you not even fear God? Seeing you are under the same condemnation. And we indeed justly. What a statement to make, no? You know, this guy's eyes were opened, my dear brothers. It's Ephatha on the cross. Eyes were opened. The God of this age has blinded your eyes in a way because we are all people who point fingers and don't take responsibility for our own actions. May the Lord open our eyes this morning. Ephatha. You know, when before God, Jesus has to say Ephatha, he has to sigh. Ephatha. Lord, remember me. I am not even like this Pharisee. Sorry, of this tax collector. You know what the tax collector said? You know, for the Pharisee, God comes last. You know what this guy says? Lord, he can't even look at heaven. He beats his own breast. He says, Lord, I am the one. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, not my pastor, oh Lord. Not my wife also. Think about that. Finger pointing. Hang that guy and the gallows, kill him. How do we do that? When we know how much we have been forgiven. It was as if God, it says, we through God are asking you to reconcile yourself to God. God is saying sorry to God on our behalf. Think about it, no? God is coming and saying, he's sorry, accept his sorry, okay? Look at me and accept his sorry. Look at him and accept his sorry. Think. So difficult for us to say sorry. Year is getting ended. How many sorries you have to say? I don't know. Say sorry. Set it right. With God and man. Next one we need to hang. Parmashta. What is it? Rips apart strong connection between fellow Jews to bring isolation and division. What is that? Rips apart. Divides. Does not bring unity. Divides husband and wife. Divides a brother and isolates him from the body. You become a loose electron. See, I'm telling you something. We all are in this together. Everything in the church, it's a collective effort. Even preaching, by the way, is. I'll tell you, this is an example. Recently I've heard this testimony about. How many of you heard the story, about the church called Lone Star Baptist Church? Anybody knows Lone Star Baptist Church? Lone Star Baptist Church is in Nellore. Lone Star Baptist Church. The story, the history of this man. This was a man who was sent from US as a missionary to a place in Nellore by the Baptist Commission. Okay? Baptist Commission of the church. They sent him. For 3 years he was preaching and nothing was happening. Not even one soul was saved. So one day, the committee came together. They said, no, all these years we have sent clothes, we have sent money, we have sent medicines, we have sent supplies, but not even a single soul is saved. So we'll ask this man, whoever is in the mission, let us shift him to Burma. I don't think this mission field is working. So in that commission, all the people have to come to a unanimous conclusion. Otherwise, even if there's one dissenting voice, until and unless that voice also becomes a person who agrees with you, you do not pass the resolution. So everybody was okay, except one young man. He kept quiet through the meeting. So then all the committee members looked at that young man and they said, what's up with this guy? Why is he objecting to it? And again, next week they said, okay, next week we're going to have this meeting. This time we want to listen to your objections as to why you don't want to shift this missionary from the mission field. So the next Sunday or the next time they had the meeting, they came together, they sat around the table, they said, okay, come on, well, we are here to listen to your arguments. So that young man got up and he started singing, Shine, Lone Star, Shine. Shine, Lone Star, Shine. He started singing that song and everybody was listening to the song. And after he sang that song, he sat down and he told the elders, he said, you know what? In all these years, we sent him supplies. We sent him medicines. But how many of us actually came together and started praying for this brother? How many of us actually did that? And you know what? Everybody started weeping and he said, yes, we never actually prayed for this brother. So they all came that day. They went on a fasting and prayer and one day, this man, this evangelist who was sent to Nellore, he was standing in the Santa, in the village market. He started preaching the word. in his own Telugu. And he started preaching. He also had a translator next to him. He started preaching the word and he said, how many few villagers want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to get rid of your idols? Till now, nobody raised their hands, and now he sees an entire, almost the entire market is raising their hands. He says, hello, what's going on over here? And he told his interpreter, did they get it right? Let us do that again. How many of you believers, how many of you people want to repent of your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to get rid of your idols? Everybody rose their hands. I said, okay, fine. If you're really serious about it, let me see. We'll get baptized now. He thought that everybody's going to leave when there's a call for baptism. So, the call for baptism happened. 4:30 in the evening, they started. And until the next day morning, they kept on baptizing one after the other. And that day, 2,222 believers got baptized. You know what the church is called? Lone Star Baptist Church. Justin's grandfather was the pastor for 2 years in the church. For 2 years, 1984 to 1986. 2,222. They have that records. 2,222. You know why? Collective effort. That's the reason the pastor says, come to the meetings, come to the pastor's conference. You know why? Because that's the one collective outreach of the church. Be a part of it. Don't be separate. It's not one man who's preaching and getting the glory. Understand this. But you know what? That spirit of division in the church. It divides the church. What is that? A house that is divided against itself cannot stand. There's no power. There's a power in agreement, my dear brothers and sisters, especially among husbands and wives. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You know why? There's a power in agreement there. You need to become one. Don't get married to a donkey. That's the reason why. An ox cannot be equally yoked with a donkey. Matthew chapter 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I say to you, if two of you agree concerning anything. So what does this do? It brings division. Hang that fellow there. The next one, quickly, before we are done for the day. Aridai. Crippled by fear. And what do you say? I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. You know why? Because I'm crippled by fear. This is what it says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 13. This is what it says. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the street. In other words, who's the lion standing? Lion is what? Satan. So Satan and I have an agreement. I will not disturb you, you don't disturb me. Hang that fellow. I don't interfere in your territory. You don't interfere in my territory. Okay? Okay, Satan? Distance maintain. One hand. One arm distance. You know what the lepers say? The four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we enter into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we sit here, we will die. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. Risk your life, in other words. So many things to say, but paucity of time. And the final one. The last fellow. Bitterness. Bitterness of the olive. Bitterness has got two connotations. Rebellion and bitter. It's like two pendulums, no? Pendulums one side is rebellion. Pendulums other side is bitterness, rejection. So this morning, Hebrews chapter 12 will say, looking carefully, lest any one of you shall fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of what? Bitterness. Get rid of bitterness this year. Don't hold on unforgiveness. Don't die. Like yesterday, Pastor was talking about, acid in the bottle is more dangerous than acid outside. Get it out. Hang in there. You know what happens after this? The story says, Mordecai was exalted. And he was a ruler over the entire province. You know why? Haman and his 10 sons were hung. And for this reason, the Son of Man was manifest. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. So let us make a covenant this week, this day. Lord, I, through the Spirit, want to put to death the deeds of the body. Shall we all stand to our feet this morning? Let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your hearts this morning. Concentrate on Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Bible says, look unto Jesus, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Look, he's not in the manger. Look, he's not on the cross. Look, he's not in the tomb. You know where he is now? He's at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. And the Bible says he is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. So this morning, if you have anything, if there is anything between you and God, you know it. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. Confess it in your own words. In your heart. You don't have to come here or do anything. In your own heart. Get it right with God. Confess your complacency. Confess your lack of interest for the word. Confess your hypocrisy. Confess your love for money. Confess. And God is going to give us a power, my dear brothers and sisters, to put to death the deeds of the body. He says, if you by the Spirit, it's impossible in our own strength to do it. But he can give it. He will give it. That is our portion as the children of God. But this morning, are we willing to kill and to hang? You know why? Because he hung on the tree for us. And all he's asking us is to not hang ourselves, but hang all these attitudes inside of our heart that keep us away from God. The inclinations of our heart. Let us surrender this morning. Father, we just want to thank you once again for this day. Pray, Father, for all of us. Enable us to become serious. Even during this time of Christmas, even as we wind up this year, enable us not to take things for granted. Let us not be desensitized to the things that we have heard over and over again. But let us be sharp in our spirit. Let our conscience be quickened this morning. Cause us to walk in your ways. Thank you, Father, once again. Commit all of us into your hands. Do your work in us. In us and through us. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. 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 God bless you.